Hopefully a vaccine for the coronavirus is in the making. How long will it take to perfect it or even to perfect tests for the virus? A clinical lab specialist addresses this issue right now on Vocal Point and the potential long-term impact of the pandemic. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Michael Dougherty. He is the president and CEO of LabMD, which is an Atlanta-based clinical and anatomic medical laboratory with a national client base. He's also the author of the book called The Devil Inside the Beltway. Michael Dougherty, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here. How are you?
Good. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
You are, but I'm used to 5,000 other pronunciations, so I answered everything.
Okay, very good. So you have a laboratory, and you know a lot about viruses and so forth. I understand the coronavirus is closer, perhaps, to the cold virus than maybe even the flu is, or something like that. Tell us about the disease itself.
This is one of the fastest dropping knives we've ever encountered in science before, because the Chinese have kept a lot of the information hidden until the horse is way out of the barn. So as we try to figure it out, these entire family of viruses, yes, it's morphing, it's constantly mutating, as all viruses always do. We're just trying to get our handle on it, and whether it's like cold or flu, it's more like the severity of it and the strength and how much it changes. It's hard to deal with this while everything's going on. It is very much like trying to repair the plane after it's off the ground.
Mm. Okay, wow, that's a good analogy. You have said, quote unquote, this is our generation's great test. You want to comment on that?
Well, because we are sitting there, everyone's alive today pretty much doesn't remember tuberculosis hospitals. They don't remember iron lungs. They don't have family members typically that have lived their lives with polio disabilities. So we're a little soft and a little spoiled. And, the greatest generation is really considered the World War II generation. And we're a generation, or many of the generations here, because we have baby boomers now as the more older crowd, have really kind of slid out of the room with an iPhone in their hand. They think everything's expedient and everything's easy, and they've never been through real trauma. Now, this, compared to those, isn't a real trauma. It's bad, but the fear about this whole thing is the unknown, and all the effort is to head it off at the pass, because you don't want to go, oh, that was terrible. So I'm hoping, of course, and I think the numbers will pan out, that while this is bad, and it's good to head it off the path so many aren't impacted long term, but the numbers of getting it is not a death sentence at all, unless you're really immunosuppressed, and that's important to keep in mind as we run around hoarding tuna fish and toilet paper.
I don't even understand the hoarding of the toilet paper. I mean, what's the point? Paper towels, bleach, I could understand, but toilet paper? What's the point? It doesn't even make sense.
Well, there is no point when you have mass pandemonium. I mean, it's you study what happens in crowds under stress and the survival instinct. I mean, this is what happens when you have a media that's more interested in throwing roadkill at people to get them stimulated so they'll watch the show and drive ratings and make money. And the people on the other side watching still, by and large, go, oh, that must be the truth. So they're masters of half-truth, right? Because we're seeing photos in the beginning a few weeks ago of, corpses in the hallway of a hospital with patients in the same room. That is terrifying. But how many of us have been to China? Most of us don't know that in that city that isn't really that well-known of a city, there are more people than there are in the entire state of Georgia. Or they don't understand that they don't have the infrastructure, the cleanliness. They don't have, the government doesn't care for the people. So you have a petri dish that's much more opportunistic for infection. And the fact that the government kept it a secret from everyone and now have expelled the reporters that reported on it, yes, speaks volumes of how we're just trying to clean this up. So it's a good thing that, ironically, that Trump stopped the China travel when he did, And then the heat he took. Do you remember that? I'd love to replay those tapes. They're not saying that now. Now they'll probably go, oh, we should have closed Europe earlier.
Yeah.
Because all they are trying to do is politicize this. And so we have to be very careful of who we're listening to.
Yeah.
When you're sick, do not call your congressman. Okay. That, and that's what we've been doing the past 10 years in this country. So we really change our infrastructure, and we've set this thing up, and our generation has to respond to dealing with this right now in a responsible manner, stopping the spread, not being greedy and selfish. And then when this is over, take a look in the mirror and realize what we've allowed to happen with rural hospitals getting hurt, China making all our pills, and major companies that treat this country like a sales territory instead of any obligations they have as Americans.
Okay, you have said that this could potentially impact how we shop, travel, and work for years. Really, I mean, as opposed to, well, this could be a short-lived problem, and, I had one guest who said, I guarantee you by May 1, this is all going to be over. Hopefully he's right, but you think that still the impact could be for years, no matter how quickly, Lord willing, it ends.
Well, look, we are in the middle right now of a house fire, right? And look, houses burn down fast and they don't rebuild quickly. And we are fools if we move forward as business as usual after this is over, as far as China's concerned. And I don't think the world has got too much of an appreciation right now for China. And they're going to have a real short fuse for what they did. And this is, you cannot have these levels of violation of trust and look the other way when it's the health of the world, because you want to make money with those people. And so when I talk about what's going to be different, what are you doing over there? Apple, Amazon, what are y'all doing over there? So what are we doing here giving them huge oligopoly power, huge market power, huge profit margin power, because we're capitalist and democracy and we are exploiting a communist regime's, low pay for workers. So we've got that drive, increase in the profit margins for people that started here. It's not okay when these are enemies of the health of everybody. We cannot reward that. We cannot make them successful and think it's not connected.
Okay, that makes sense. So, in other words, we really should rethink how much we get from China. For example, it's terrible to think that, you put on a strand of Christmas lights on your Christmas tree. You got them real cheap because they were made in China, but maybe those were made with effectively slave labor.
Correct. And the other side of the coin is, look, China steals everything. They don't develop everything. And I won't be surprised as time goes on that we find out, they don't have the efficient ways to protect these things. And what happens when people bumble things up like that? Well, they try to cover it up and lie. That's not a Chinese trait.
Right.
That's a human trait. And technology could drive down costs of a lot of things. I mean, just look at this whole hubbub about the $15, minimum wage they want in Seattle and San Francisco, and they've got that in the fast food. So what did that accelerate? Now we have the robots coming that will just annihilate that, and they work at $2 an hour.
Yeah, so, and closures of restaurants that have been in business for years, and right. You never hear about that. But that's a very good point. But since your specialty is in terms of the lab, can you comment a little bit about tests and the test kits and so forth, and how important that is, and then I'll ask you about vaccines. But let's begin with the tests.
Well, there has to be. Look, when you're dealing with the human body, here's the complicated part of medicine that people that don't work in medicine just don't get, and don't shoot the messenger. It's just the way it is, right? You've seen one patient. Generally speaking, you can't just run around with things that are going to go into people's bodies and think one size fits all. That's why the biggest complication I can tell you would be a kidney transplant, and we have even different type blood. So when you're trying to think of things like vaccines and things you can put in people's bodies, you can't just rush it and think you get to redo the recipe after, hurt that person next. That doesn't work. So by and large, these systems are checks and balances as they should be, and that's safe, and that's good. When you have the type of pressure that's coming on now, people aren't hearing clearly. They're not thinking clearly. And they're like, why can't we have a vaccine immediately? Which is insane.
Yeah.
Because that's like saying, why can't, you know, money fall from the leaf tree? Just, I'm sorry. You're going to have to grow up and realize it. So, but from an education point of view, understand that vaccines are not cures. Vaccines are immunity boosters. You know, they're like the boarding up the windows of the house when the hurricane's coming. You strengthen things. And so you get a little dose of the disease to stimulate your immune system to battle the potential incoming. And what that's going to be mixed of is, is an educated, sophisticated statistical guess. It's a scientific foundational statistical guess. And sometimes they get it right and sometimes they get it wrong. And once you do all that, when you're on these other vaccines like this, you know, you have to be careful how you test it. Now, really easy to raise money right now. Piece of cake to get money to do this. And someone's going to make a lot of money off still solving it. That's great. But keep in mind, this will be blown over and the vaccine will be for the next episode, which probably be much more weaker. We'll know a lot more about it and that type of thing. The positive thing about this is I think people are going to be much more generally educated about vaccinations, vaccines, and diagnostic laboratory testing. We take that thing for granted. I think they think we pull the blood out of your arm and send it off to the to the diagnostic fairy, and magic happens, and here it is. And they're the unsung workers, working behind scenes that are doing all these things.
And in the meantime, for the average person, if there are certain steps you could take to try and increase your immunity, exercise regularly, sleep often, wash. I mean, just all those, the common sense stuff, that's really important, obviously.
It's hand-to-hand combat. It's hand-to-hand transmission.
Yeah.
So, wash your, wipe down your shopping cart, buddy. Wash your hands often. Don't sneeze in someone's face. It's just common sense.
Sure. Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. If you had 100 people, let's say, that were infected with the coronavirus, it's my understanding that out of those 100, maybe one would die, especially if they're older and so forth. But if you had, an average of 100 people, it seems like most of the people who have died are older people. For example, the first victims here in America apparently were all in one particular nursing home in this state of Washington.
There you go. Let's say you have immunosuppressed people. That's why they're in nursing homes. They're close together. No one knew about it.
So they're older than 80.
Any precautions ahead of time. So that was really, really losing the lottery, because these things have to happen with a lot of circumstances all occurring at the same time. So, close confinement, immunosuppressed, passing things, no one knows about it, incubating allowed to go. And so you get caught off guard. And that's the sad part, the people that are at the front of the infection curve. But we learn fast. And we have a lot of information, and we communicate ethically with other medical practitioners around the world, unless they're in China, because you have tyrants that are trying to suppress them.
Yeah, wow. Okay, how about a closing thought on the whole coronavirus pandemic that we're dealing with right now?
Well, it's just something we have to experience and go through right now, and you have to understand there are no absolute answers. So you have to stay in the middle of the curve. Don't hoard. Be nice to each other. Keep yourself clean. And, don't do crazy stuff. At the same time, do not freak out and stop your life. And try not to watch too much news.
That's a good, that's very, very good. All right, your Twitter handle is at Daugherty MJ. Daugherty is spelled Daugherty. MJ.
Right.
Okay, thank you so much, Michael Daugherty, for being with us. All the best.
Good talking to you. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.